1, 2, 3, or up to infinity. I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Back to School episode of Ignite Radio Live.
You are with Greg and Stephanie Schleter over the five mighty stations of Annunciation Radio for the Almighty. And we invite you to join us in this great adventure of marriage and family at no other than ilovemyfamily.us. Check it out. You'll find many resources there, in particular, the infamous Live It Gathering Guide, which encourages talking and praying together. And it's just an awesome tool to facilitate that.
And a fabulous segue to our guest tonight. You know, we left this week open because we knew the Spirit wanted somebody very special. And Steph and I were just thinking, you know, who's probably sitting around doing nothing, right? As we're all going back to school. Let's connect with the top guy for the Catholic Diocese of Toledo, the education senior staff there. So we are so truly blessed to know Matt and his lovely wife and family. Matt Daniels is at that servant helm with such a phenomenal heart for the kingdom, phenomenal heart and a team there at the diocese with a bishop and so many. For what? Wanting truly for us to become a holy Toledo, to become a diocese, and more than just words, I can say this. Steph, we got to cheerlead our buddy Matt here for a second here. If they were not in these positions, they would be fully praying and advocating for these things anyways, because it burns in their hearts a love for Christ and our Catholic faith. And I'll say this, a desire, this is the key thing, a desire for us to journey together as a community here, which doesn't mean perfect. It means just we're journeying together to become a holy Toledo, particularly marriage and family, this critical thing we're going to talk about tonight, where Steph came up with a great title, which we're going to call it Christ's Classroom, right? Steph, is that accurate?
Yes, that's it.
So we're going to talk about, you know, Christ's Classroom, which of course is the home. It's everywhere we go, but in a particular way, by God's design, the gift of the Catholic Church and Catholic schools to be those kind of places. So all that said, welcome aboard. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm well. I have to say, I'm pumped up. That was a great like intro, and it could have also been like a pregame football speech. I don't know if you ever coached football, but I'm like ready to go out there and like for kickoff right now.
Yeah, man, face the Titans.
Woo!
I'm ready to go.
Well, not quite yet, because Greg got to cheerlead a little, but I didn't. So it's my turn to cheerlead. I always wanted to be a cheerleader. No, I have the pom-poms going, and the first little shake of the confetti pom-poms is for your beautifully amazing, lovely wife, Jenny. I mean, she is just incredible in so many ways. And your witness of your marriage together, of course, is just incredibly awesome and needed. So thank you for that. And a shout out to Jenny and your beautiful kids. Just, gosh, icon of the Trinity. Woo. I don't have the words. I don't have the words.
She's shining, though.
I'm smiling. I wish you could see my face right now. But I want to also say that, as just kind of piggybacking on what Greg just said, Matt is the real deal, you guys. Listeners, we attest to it. We fact check it. We affirm it.
Not fake news.
Not real fake news. This is the real deal
news
right here. In fact, to the point when I have spoken about you, Matt, to others, and I won't tell you in what context, but it's always good.
Oh, good.
That, you know, when I say your position, they like look at me and I'm like, no, he's the real deal. He's a great guy. He gets it. He gets it. So if I had to have a different title for this episode, it might be Matt Daniels Gets It. And we are grateful as a church. We are grateful as friends, but in particular for the kingdom. Praise God that you get it and that you are striving to bring it about. So with that, that is my little segment of my cheerleading.
So, folks, if you want to hear the really beautiful story of how he and wife Jenny personally, separately, came to know Jesus and the Catholic faith and their story of dating and marriage and children and all of that. We're going to put that in the show notes, so check that out. We did have a wonderful episode on that. But we do want to start with a little bit of a fun question tonight. Before we really do want to get serious, you know us, you've been tuned into our program for a while. We want to take the gloves off a little bit in talking about the great things that God is doing and realize that that's a challenge, right? That all of us, let's be real, we're dealing with a difficult culture. We're dealing with a lot of confusion and difficulty. It's never been more difficult to be a parent. We experienced COVID the last 3 years. I mean, the team up there at the diocese, along with many of us, but they in a particular way have faced challenges that we can't even imagine, but they're about the process. So just that's where we're going. Before we dive into that stuff, though, Matt, just some blessings of the summer. We're kind of entering into August. This is the busy time. This is what you have been praying and planning for. So just looking back, family time, what were some highlights of the Daniels household this past summer?
Oh, my goodness. So thank you both for your kind words. And it's been a great, my career in Catholic education has been one that I'm grateful for every day. Mm-hmm. And this summer, we took our first trip to the National Junior Hereford show, which changes its location from year to year. This year, it happened to be in Madison, Wisconsin.
Awesome. My homeland. But by the way, what is Hereford versus his Hereford?
It's a breed of cattle. They're beef cattle. They're like the burnt red looking cattle. Mm. And my wife, Jen, she and her family have raised Herefords for a long time. And my son, Joe, just turned 12 a few days ago.
Go, and Joe.
He got to participate in his first national cattle show.
Awesome.
Of which I know nothing about. And,
no, except we like to eat it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's my experience with beef is usually at the supermarket.
Medium rare.
Yeah.
Maybe a rub on it or something, right? Weber grill. Yeah.
But it was really, so there was something like 1,800, this is in July, 1,800 cattle show up. And there are judges that look at all different types of aspects of the cow.
A lot of bull.
A lot of bull. A lot of,
okay, you're done,
a lot of all kinds of stuff. And so we were. So my oldest three boys went with my mother-in-law for the entire week. So they left on a Saturday night and got in Madison like early in the morning on Sunday and set up their little, I don't even know what you call it, like their station for the mm-hmm. cattle. And we joined them that Wednesday. And it was an education as much as it was an experience for me.
That's awesome.
But it's like, I think, you know, kind of like 4-H and other kind of like, you know, farm values, if you will, like it teaches you like hard work and perseverance and like, Joe was pretty successful on Wednesday and not so much on Friday. And, and you like learn how to take the wins and the losses. And so it was a great experience. We had a great time.
What defines success? I'm sorry for interrupting, but like what are the metrics here? How is it measured? Like, can you take them on a leash around the block and they obey you or what?
I mean, kind of, yeah. So the process is that these young people will take their bulls or their steers or their heifers or the calves, and they lead them through a ring, and they're designed practice to stand a certain way. And it helps the judge determine kind of in a particular class or, you know, kind of like a heat, a group of cattle, you know, which ones are the best and which ones aren't. And then you can move up from that class to a division, from that division to kind of the rest of the you know, group of cattle. For example, like Joe was in the bin owned because this particular cow that we brought was from my mother-in-law's farm. So it was born there and raised there. So there's a lot that I don't understand. Joe did, I think he got in, he was in second place for his class, which made him, he moved up like to a division, kind of the next level, if you will. And I think got fourth in that. So it was like relative success, you know, compared to
bunch of the others.
It's amazing.
I still always think about hamburgers when I go to those.
I feel a little ashamed. I'm glad you brought that up because I wondered if I was maybe in the wrong space. You know, like I like cats. They taste like chicken, but maybe it's a little bit of a different thing. Okay. Sorry. Do you relationally connect? Like, do you name the Herefords? Does it create an emotional bond? And then do you struggle with the fact that they have limited time on this planet?
Yes, is the answer to both. This particular cow is going to go back to my mother. It went back to my mother-in-law's farm and probably will be there and be bred and things. But my wife will tell me stories of, you know, these cows that they've basically, you know, worked with over and over again for some years. And they really, you know, like have an affection for them. And eventually they all end up in the same way. But yeah, there's definitely a connection, especially when you work hard with a project for a long time. You know, there's a bond there that's created. I have to tell you though, on our way home, we decided, I thought it would be fun to stop in Chicago. And a favorite patroness of mine is Frances Xavier Cabrini. So it happened to be her birthday, Cabrini's birthday, the Saturday we came home in July. And the shrine in Chicago had a birthday mass and a birthday party for her.
Fabulous. So,
that's great.
So we found our way to downtown Chicago, and by the grace of God, they let us park out front. You know, we have seven kids, so we have one of those large Ford vans, and it's hard to park anywhere, much less downtown
Chicago. The Catholic
van,
yep.
Right, yeah. And the sisters, they were so nice to us. We were there a little bit early, and we got to walk around the shrine, and they took us into the bedroom where Mother Cabrini died, and kind of gave us this intimate tour. And then we stayed for mass and pizza and meatballs and cake afterwards.
Wow.
And it was a perfect way to end. And we drove home from there, and it was a perfect way to end a great family week. And and it was special. It was a special time together in a way. And it was a great, great highlight of our summer.
Fabulous. Okay. I just have to jump back. I love pizza and meatballs.
Right.
Cabrini, right?
She was the first American citizen who was
canonized a saint.
Yeah, canonized. Yes. Yeah. Yep. But she was born in Italy.
Yes.
And our last name used to be Donnelly, and I have this great affinity for her and for John Bosco, who worked in this crazy world of Catholic education.
Yep.
And they're just great heroes of mine. And the Holy Spirit provided a great opportunity. And I don't know. I love. And I found out later that there's a major motion picture being produced by Angel Studios.
Oh, nice.
On Cabrini.
Yes. It's coming out in the spring.
Yes.
So good Mormon boys are foraying into Catholicism. That's fabulous.
How special, though. And just to walk your kids through that in acknowledgement of, wow, like, look how the Lord has blessed this time. Look where the Spirit led.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Wonderful.
Thanks for sharing that, Matt. That's
wonderful.
Great.
So, Matt, seven children. Just give us the 411 on oldest to youngest.
So our oldest is 12 in sixth grade, and our youngest will turn one in October and just started. He's crawling everywhere. He figured out how to stand up, and we're trying to teach him a couple words. He's not quite there yet.
Like metaphysics, epistemology, those sorts
That's
of words.
Right.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
Yeah. Wonderful.
That's great. And I have to say, just Maria is the only girl, right? Six boys and a girl.
That's right. And yes. She'll remind you of that all the time.
Yes. So you can tell her that Mrs. Schleter did it for her.
I will.
All right. So let's dive into this. Folks, you are with Greg and Stephanie Schleter, Ignite Radio Live. You can check it out at igniteradiolive.com. And we're with Matt Daniels, who is the Director of Education, Senior Staff for the Catholic Diocese of Toledo. And we really want to open the door, really, to obviously God's desire for all of us to be forged for the kingdom, to become saints in the full, shall we say, the myriad of knowledge, the realm of knowing and learning and critically thinking and being able to apply ourselves to the world. Both Steph and I grew up and were in Catholic schools all the way through high school and college. Steph, both and I, even graduate school, Catholic school, is very blessed by that. So I want to lead with this question, Matt. So number one, just give us a sense of your job and your responsibilities. But with that, it'd be great just to hear you paint a picture. And this is the tough Greg kind of question. If you could write the perfect situation for education in the Diocese of Toledo, what would it look like? What would it look like in terms of teachers and their hearts and minds, curriculum, students?
Let him paint that picture. Let him answer the...
Because I think they're kind of connected is why I'm putting them both out there. His job description. Also, like, what does that vision look like?
Yeah, those are two great questions. I'm still probably trying to figure out both. So the Catholic Education Department, we're tasked with overseeing, with in conjunction with Bishop Thomas, who is our chief teacher, Catholic schools, parish catechetical programs, and also homeschool. And I would preface that by saying, you know, the church has taught for a long time that our job is to partner with parents who are the primary educators. So in a way, I think our main job is to work within partnerships, if that makes sense. So a particular way, I think we spend a lot of time and effort because I think it has the most influence on our success. And I'll get to your second question to kind of talk about how do we look at success. And that's with principals. So we know that principals have a huge impact on the way the success and failure sometimes of where a Catholic school, where it is and what it does and how it operates. And so we spend a lot of time in that type of partnership. We spend time in partnership with parents, right? We spend some time in partnership with pastors and teachers, and then it goes into kind of the other realm of directors of religious education and catechists, and we haven't done a whole lot in this space yet, but we're planning on hiring a homeschool coordinator to really be someone who's ministering to and kind of helping make connections with relationships for parents who want to homeschool. And so I really think that, you know, People think of the term superintendent, which we don't use in our diocese, and it's probably good because we really don't act as a school district. We act as a, I don't know, where I tell our staff all the time, like, we're here to serve principals. That's what motivates them. That's what gets them excited. We're here to serve directors of religious education. It's what we're looking for, someone to fill that role. We had someone leave the department and we're looking for that. And we're also there to partner with families in a particular way who choose to homeschool. So if I had to kind of bundle it, it's, you know, absolutely we serve 60 schools, almost 15,000 students. Same thing in a parish PSR program is about 15,000 students. And to be honest, I don't know how many homeschool families we have across the diocese. We don't have a good metric on it. But we're there to serve and we're there to facilitate and to relay, the church's mission and what we're called to from the universal church, but also kind of the emphasis of what Bishop Thomas has put forth in terms of making, you know, holy disciples and holy families in the diocese. So at the beginning of every school year, we take a day, and we have a couple of them scheduled at the beginning of the year, and even one in September. To spend with new teachers. And so they're new teachers to the diocese, or just new teachers to the profession in general. And we call this our John 3:16 day. So Archbishop Miller is, J. Michael Miller, he at one time was the secretary for the Congregation for Catholic Education. He's an archbishop from Canada. And he gave a talk, that has since turned into a little brown book that we try to give everybody, especially those working in a Catholic school. it's the Holy See's teaching on Catholic school. So it's this talk that's been summarized kind of into this, I don't know, not even a 50-page book. And so we spend the day talking through with these new teachers what the philosophy of Catholic education is. And you know, the Department of Education in Ohio, they would summarize kind of the effect for education is that we want to produce kids that are college and career ready. Mm-hmm. And I always say those are good and noble things. And to be a successful society, we have to prepare young people for both. Mm-hmm. However, mm-hmm. that's not the reason we exist mm-hmm. as a Catholic school, Amen. Right? That's the reason we exist is to make Jesus Christ known, loved, and served. And that's our function. So I tell them, we go through this whole day and toward the end, I try to summarize, you know, all that Archbishop Miller talks about and the work that so the whole day we're kind of working in groups and asking them to think through things and give examples of how they might implement these elements of Catholic education. And to try to summarize it, which, you know, this is a lot of thought to try to summarize. I say that through the virtues of faith, hope, and love, our job in Catholic schools, Catholic education, is to make Jesus Christ known, loved, and served by teaching truth, goodness, and beauty. Mm. And Bishop loves the talking in threes, and yes. It just so happens that all those, I think, work in tandem together. But like, if you boil it down, like to answer your second question, Greg, I think like that's how we'll know if we're being successful. We can walk into a school, or frankly, a parish, and those that are ministering to our young people, they have that mentality of, I'm here to make Jesus Christ known, loved, and served, and I have to rely on his grace and his goodness to help me do this, because like you said earlier, it's a battle right now. Mm-hmm. Not even tough, it's a battle for souls. And we do that by showing our young people the things that they come to realize like are unchangeable, right? Mm-hmm. The transcendental things that they affect the way that they feel in a profound way, and whether it's truth and goodness or beauty. I show them this picture of my son, of Joe, when he was in preschool. So this has been several, almost 9 years ago now. And his teacher, who's also in the picture, she retired from Catholic education after 40 some years, and she was a Golden Apple Award, and she's one of my favorite educators. And they're releasing a monarch butterfly, you know, from their class project that they had done, you know, weeks earlier. And the person, I didn't take the picture. The person who took the picture captured perfectly Joe's face of awe and wonder, you know, as this butterfly is, you know, taking its first, you know, flaps into, you know, the air. And Rosemary, the teacher, her face is just as surprised and full of awe and wonder. And I say to them, like, this is what we're going for.
This is.
And I don't care if we're teaching language arts or science or algebra, you know, the truth of the quadratic equation, when it's correct, like that's a little glimpse of who God is, the truth of who God is. And so I challenge them, like, I hope you have these types of moments every single day in your classroom, yes. because this is what we're here for. So I don't know. I know that's a long answer.
Great answer.
Maybe a little so good.
But that's what I hope and wish and pray for when we look at like what, how do we know success? Like that's what it would be. That would be, if we can get that done in every school, well, I'll look for a new job at a different diocese. That's what we're looking for.
Holy Spirit, come, Lord, let it be.
I mean, listeners, do you get what I'm talking about? Do you hear the sincerity and just joy and real dealness in Matt's voice? I do. So thank you for that, Matt. No, so good, so spot on, so right, so true, good, and beautiful. So I thank you for that and know of our support in that. And speaking of support, I also just want to say that when we moved to this diocese 10 years ago from Erie, Pennsylvania, great place, great people, but it was a whole different game here that we experienced in regards to not just support for homeschooling, yeah. But I remember being blown away that I didn't feel defensive as to explain the reasons why we chose to homeschool from our pastor, who it was just like a true option, like right up there with the others. It wasn't like, okay, those are the crazy people that we need to respect because they are the parents and, you know, they seem nice and not too crazy. But I've seen that grow. And in particular, since you've taken the helm, as you spoke of homeschooling as one of the things and desiring to be a more active support in that. So I thank you for that, because if I'm going to steal a little bit of a moment here, this is the first back to school that I'm not a back to school teacher. The homeschooling proverbial chalk
in the formal sense
has been hung up, and prior to that I was a classroom teacher in Catholic schools, so I have a great love for both, but just on behalf of homeschoolers, thank you for that.
So I want to say that there's a mindset and a heart set that you're speaking of that is applicable to everybody at every level. You mentioned a few partnerships, and I think what's often overlooked is perhaps the primary heart set mindset is that of parents who are the primary educators of their young people. And I think people can kind of gloss that over, like, what does that mean? I mean, they're really entrusting their souls, the intellectual formation of their children to you guys, to teachers in schools. And I guess want to say this and get your thoughts on this. Of hundreds of teachers we've known, they could almost predict the nature of the homes of their children, of the kids in their classrooms. They could predict maybe the poverties, the challenges, or what's happening in homes based upon the way the children in the classrooms are being engaged. And they could predict where those kids generally, they could predict where they're possibly, you know, the kinds of marriages they're going to have, the kind of jobs they're going to have, how they're going to persevere in life. So the first thing I guess I'd want to say is to all parents who are listening, number one, strongly hand in the air, we're imperfect. The standard of the vision that Matt, you painted is an ideal that we ought to be pursuing, but let's not give up because we fall short. Let's not give up because we're struggling. Some parents are divorced. Some parents are, you know, the jobs and the difficulties and the culture and the old, all of that stuff. We have 6 kids in 7 years. We totally get that. But I think inherent, and maybe to have you speak about this, Matt, is an invitation. Like you painted a picture. This is an invitation to parents. And I encourage them to think about this. What if we more fully recognized as parents, the gift that you're offering in vision and guidance that's not simply going to result in our kids being the better versions of themselves, but I can't say this strongly enough to parents, and again, from our experience, it's going to make individual souls, parents better, marriages better, families better. It's a big vision that invites us to a kind of excellence. And if we embrace that, again, the heart set mindset, the opportunity that can be, I think we're well on our way to becoming a holy diocese of Toledo. So there's a poverty there. I want to acknowledge that. Maybe speak to, you know, what do you see as maybe the struggles? And then maybe paint a picture of hope and appeal to those of us who are parents to more fully embrace this tremendous gift that we have in partnering and forming these souls for eternity.
Yeah, Greg, you're good at asking questions. These are doozies. But I think, I mean, frankly, they're the right questions to ask, I think, for where we are at the moment in the world. I would try to frame it from kind of two different perspectives. One from the church perspective or a faith formation perspective. The other, like, let's just take a second on what social science has taught us so far. And maybe we'll start there and end with the church. But you know, if you look at almost every aspect of what makes young people successful, it's parents being engaged in the particular item. So, you know, if like you want to look at reading scores or general student success, parents that understand what their children are studying, let's say in a math class, or they help them with their reading assignments, or they ask follow-up questions, you know, to the lessons that occurred at school that day. we know that those students are the most successful. They're the most successful in terms of their grades and standardized test scores. We know that parents who are engaged in the life of their kids, the kids are happier. There are less issues with mental struggles, mental illnesses. Mm. Like every aspect. So there was a campaign done in Boston. This has been a few years ago. To try to affect infant mortality and all the things that go into from the time you bring an infant home to the first 3 months of life. And so they did this campaign where they really drove home like this the safety components of what you do with a crib and what you dress an infant in. And so they worked with groups of parents. It was this whole campaign that the city put on, and the mortality rates dropped. and I just think it's a really wonderful, it's a beautiful example of parents who understand what their call is. Like they're helping save their kids' lives in so many ways. The same is true with, and I know you know this, but from a faith perspective, right? The families that pray together and that earnestly, where the parents show their kids like what it means to love each other and love the Lord, like they're more likely to grow up and have a faith life and to believe and to practice a faith. They're more likely to be happy. And some studies suggest that those people that have that type of faith life, they live longer. So like if we just take this at the surface level, right? Like not even the eternal implications, the surface level, what parent doesn't want their child to be more successful? And how it doesn't, I mean, in a sense, you could say maybe it costs money because, you know, if a parent is home and not at a job, maybe you can quantify that in some way, but it doesn't cost like a program or a book or even like a special tutor. It requires parents to be engaged in a particular way, you know, in tune with a particular need of their kids. And again, like who doesn't want that? Who doesn't? Yep, as a parent, yep, who doesn't yep. want that? And you know, there have been several. We've been looking at other dioceses and looking at other programs that are being offered across the country right now. And there's been a resurgence for family catechetical programs. And you know, it's not that like I would never expect. You know, I'm a convert, so I went through like a lot of study myself to try to understand like what the faith teaches and what it is. And I do the same now as my kids are getting older. Like I have to be able to answer questions when they ask and they ask.
Right.
So I would never, you know, expect a parent, a mom or a dad to know everything. But I think that's where the church can really walk with a parent and say, your kids need to learn their faith from you. And we're going to partner with you to help you do that. And that's the opportunity I think is there. I think we have parishes right now that are trying it. We have schools right now that are doing it. And I think it's again, back to that idea of a kind of a partnership. That's where I think as a church and from an institutional perspective, we can invite parents to be a part of their the spiritual and catechetical formation of their children in a way that maybe took place, you know, in a different era, but maybe not even to the same extent. I think this is really it's not just a renaissance. It's a kind of, I don't know, rethinking of the way that like we're going to train parents in a particular way to help them train their children. Some parents maybe need less support, right? Like we all know, you know, if you have a class of 30 kids, some students, like you can tell them once and they get it, and others, like we're going to have to help a little bit longer, but who cares? Like that, what's why we're here.
That's what,
like,
you're
that's,
there.
That's what we're here for. Yeah. So I think, I don't know. I know that's again, kind of a long answer, but
that's great.
That's what I've been thinking a lot about. Brett Hunterbrinker and I, we've been spending a lot of time on like, how do we move the needle in the way that we, invite families and then help families like recapture what it is that they've been called to do by the church.
Amazing. So a personal story, thank you so much for all of that, but a personal story that filled it out for me when we came to the diocese 10 years ago. So from Erie, Pennsylvania, so Stephanie and the kids were, I want to say we sold our home in Erie, so they were with my parents, and I was here by myself working for the diocese at the time, and our real estate guy, Matt Yeager, invited me to come to their parish, Blessed Sacrament. It was an occasion of fundraising for his wife who was battling cancer. So Lori Yeager and the entire community of Blessed Sacrament came out for this evening, this fundraiser, and I was so moved that it was the Catholic school culture, right? It was more than just a slick marketing slogan on what it means to be Catholic, but I had a rich experience of that being lived by the parents and the families rallying around beautiful Lori Yeager, and you know, Monsignor Billion was part of that experience, so you got the pastor involved there, the schools, of course, the schools wedded to the parish in that experience. I'll say this, it was the church fully alive. And you know, Matt, to me, it's a vivid image because I think it's that context that, as you spoke of, appeals to the languishing in our hearts. Right now, some people are listening and we're human, depending on the day and what we're struggling with. We're dealing with a disconnect. We're dealing with a languishing. We're dealing with confusion and debris coming out of COVID and the culture that's around us and the politics that wants to just write stick in those little sticks and prod us. Yes, we need to be engaged in those conversations, but we're yearning for meaningful faith connection where you have permission to talk about that which is most essential. And parents, which of us, you know, really don't want a culture for our children to learn that language, and more at the heart of that, when I say to learn the word of God, Christ himself, to have permission to know Jesus personally. By the way, this was not so much a pronounced thing 20, 30 years ago. It was kind of, you know, as a convert, you may know, looking at those Catholics, it seemed like a lot of jumping through the hoops 20, 30 years ago. But what's magnificent is I think there's a recovery. We call it the patristic era, like the first few centuries of the church, of that which is essentially Catholic, which is this relationship with Jesus Christ at the heart of ritual. And you know, right now, I think parents, many didn't really learn that or didn't experience that, but they're yearning for it. And schools are that contact with churches under our bishop and all of y'all to really open that door and experience that. So I'm really delighted with that. Now, I have to, you know, ask the question for those who perhaps have had difficult experiences. And, you know, their kids were in a Catholic school, and none of us are perfect, so no institution is perfect. I know you know that. You're real in this. You're wanting to bring this about with a team. How are you as a team kind of seeing the journey happen from, again, a slick marketing slogan, which I know is just the beginning point, to living it fully and the journey of leading your leaders and principals and all of those? The factor of having, you know, hiring and, you know, integrating them into this, you know, shared, if you will, mission of building the kingdom. How's that process working out? Where do you see that going?
Yeah, it's a battle again, not just for the souls of kids, but for, you know, onboarding people. And again, I don't care if it's a catechist or a teacher, DRE or principal, you know, I think step one is saying what you've signed up for, is difficult. Satan wants you to fail. Mm. and so you better have a good game plan. And we're going to work with you to ensure that you have a partner in this, in this work. So some of it, to be honest, I think, like, we rely on the Holy Spirit, and you know, we engage with Father John Ricardo in Acts 29, and he talks Amazing. About taking things back to the architect. And so I would say, like, we spend time as a staff in prayer, probably not as much as we should. And one of my prayers often is like, Lord, tell me what the principals need to hear. Like, what are the principals? What are they yearning for? Like, you know, in a sense, if they're, you know, one aspect of the group that we're serving, we spend a lot of time like thinking about and praying about, you know, the spiritual aspect of how we serve them. So for example, this year this unique situation that I got to experience in July with Cabrini, we decided to entrust our year to Mother Cabrini. So we have different things planned, and we took a look at some of her writings at the beginning of the year, and we'll do the same thing throughout the year. But part of it is, what do we feel called to give from a spiritual level? So that because in many situations, I think principals and DREs are certainly they never take the role of what a pastor can do at a parish, but many people look to them as kind of the, you know, here and now spiritual leader of the building.
Accessible. Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. Again, not a different role, but nonetheless important, and at the same time, kind of a religious or spiritual leader for that community. So that's, there's an aspect of that. I think there's also a very practical aspect of helping to coach teachers, especially with understanding this this unique call in their classroom. That regardless of what they teach, their job is to provide a Catholic worldview, a lens through which to view the world that's unique and is different. So last spring, we engaged with a young man. You might know him. His name is John Brayer. John is at the time was working for his school in the Archdiocese of Detroit. He's since moved on to the diocesan offices for Detroit. And John had this idea to teach, kind of have 7 or 8 different workshops with teachers. And he called this the Fides et Ratio Project, to talk about how faith and reason are aligned in our faith, and how, again, regardless of what you teach, whether it's math or English or history or science, that your job is to infuse a worldview that helps make God known, loved, and served. And so he did this with a small group of our teachers. They presented this summer to some of their colleagues at a summer workshop. They have videos that they basically created a lesson plan that will be part of a library. And John's idea is to kind of grow this this library where, you know, other teachers who, let's say, also teach algebra, for example, can get an idea and really see how the understand the framework of thinking through this type of lesson planning, because I don't think it's particularly difficult, but it's not something that most of our teachers are coming to us with the skill set in.
Right.
So there's a little bit of a coaching, I think, that has to happen. And to be very honest, I think we've been asking teachers in our schools to do this. And some teachers, like, by the nature of their formation and their understanding of what they're called to, like, they get it and they can do it. And it's, I would say it's a gift, right? They're able to function, you know, kind of right off the bat. Others, I would say, especially those who feel a call, but maybe they went to, you know, a large public university, and they went to a teacher preparation program that really was only looking at college and career readiness and didn't have this sense of mission that we have. Like, I think we owe it to them to provide them with some context and some framework and some practical ideas of, hey, this is how you can teach, you know, Charlotte's Web in third grade with relation to, for example, virtue. Or or like the example I gave earlier, you know, here's how you can understand who God is through a linear equation. Or one example that John used was when he was teaching math, the way that bees populate is, I think, linked to the Fibonacci sequence. I'm an English teacher, so I don't want to misquote here, but
wow.
You know, that's the lesson that he kind of honed in on and used. And, you know, like, look at the way that God ordered the world such that honeybees can populate themselves, and oh yeah, this is a pattern we see throughout nature, and look at God's wonder and majesty. So
that's amazing.
I think it's like we've got to feed them spiritually, and obviously, like, you can't give what you don't have. And, you know, someone who doesn't have any relationship with the Lord or like is adverse to, you know, what the tenets are of the faith. Like, I tell these teachers at this beginning meeting, like, if you're not okay with, so we ask our teachers to sign off on this, on their contract. There are particular things, that we go through in terms of with the teachings of the church that are, you know, in this day and age in our culture, like, maybe you could say are unpopular, right? At least from the culture perspective. And I say to them, like, if you're not okay with this, I understand, but this probably isn't going to be a good fit. Like, you're not going to be happy. it's going to cause some rift between us, and you're going to be more satisfied teaching somewhere else, but not here. Mm-hmm. And I just think like when we are honest about that from the beginning, right. Like I think it's a better situation. And again, you can't give what you don't have. So, you know, I tell these teachers, I ask them to be four things. I ask them to be transformational, to be prayerful, joyful, and to be zealous. Mm. And I think if you can make movements in those areas, I think you can be an excellent Catholic school teacher or principal or catechist or religious ed director. But I think that's what the Lord calls us to do, especially when he entrusts us with, you know, forming the souls of young people. Like that's what we say yes to. And if we don't, if we're not willing to, you know, move the needle in our own lives in those areas, we probably would be better, you know, doing something else. I think we'd be better, you know, serving a different place.
Gosh, so good, Matt. So good, so true. And I mean, what you described also, it's like that's what sets apart Catholic schools, right? Amen. Like it can't just be like this, you know, facade, if you will, of, you know, you get a better education here and that's what sets us apart. It's like, no. And it struck me a number of years ago that so many people have it wrong also with the parish isn't there to serve the school. The school is there serving the parish, and it works back and forth, right? So
amen.
Kind of that whole idea of deepening at the source and summit, which should overflow into the school and in that education and all that means, as you just so beautifully, beautifully described. And as you use the phrase, you know, the formation of souls, that's Christ's classroom, right? We're given the privilege. I was talking recently to somebody reminiscing in my long 53 years of life, but just the impact that my grade school principal had in so many realms on my life, but in particular, Sister Norma Day. She was sister of the Congregation of the Divine Spirit. And she would often, and by often, I mean almost daily, speak of the responsibility that she was given by the Lord for our souls, and that one day she would stand in front of him and be accountable. And I just remember that just stayed with me, you know, in awe of that. I remember walking into my classroom for the very first time as a new teacher and just praying, sitting in each of my kids' desks and just praying like, oh my gosh, like this responsibility, Lord, that you have called me to form these souls and help me do it well. And, you know, and then gosh, as I remember holding Annie, our oldest, the first time, and then subsequently, like, as parents, right? Even more so, like these souls that we're given. And as parents, when we share that responsibility with the schools, it's just all the more beautiful and fragile. And you want to make sure that it's right. And you're trying to provide that for these souls, for these teachers, to equip the principals, equipping the teachers, and, you know, the whole partnership in every realm. And that's what's needed, especially in this world today. My goodness, we need to stand apart. We need to help each other grow in holiness, to know, to love, and to serve. And yeah, that's just amazing.
This is the bigger picture of becoming fully human, which we know as Christians is a Christified humanity. That is a humanity in Jesus Christ that is the only answer to the deepest yearning of our hearts. And maybe that's my insight to this, is the superpower, Matt, that you're talking about, that you're about, the superpower that we're given, the answer to every poverty that we have, the provision for every poverty, is Jesus Christ himself. It's Christ himself in his fullness. And I think we all can acknowledge, we've talked about this among other adults, how in the Catholic Church in particular, historically, maybe there's been a witness of jump through the hoops, mediocre, go through the motions. What's the point of the cross? It's all external. It's all scaffolding. It can feel like, you know, Ezekiel 37, dry bones. Let's just call it what it is. A whole lot of folks look at the Catholic institution because it's big. And oh, by the way, that happens to anybody who professes Christ in any fashion. They become formalized to some extent. And the challenge is to keep the beating heart at the heart of that. When I'm hearing you say, beyond the words you're saying, speaking of Brett Huntebrinker, certainly under our bishop and all of us, is we're wanting to be about that beating heart of this humanity, to prophesy, not get rid of the dry bones, but, you know, prophesy to the dry bones, see it come alive. And to that end, a brief commercial. First of all, folks, if you have the chance to participate in a weekend retreat like Acts or Crucio or Chirp, that's the animating heart of an encounter with Christ that makes all the difference in the world, personally, in our marriages and in our families. And my commercial, blessed to be partnering with the diocese in this event we're calling Sanctus Eucharistic Family Revival on November 3rd and 4th. Franciscan Friars of the Renewal are going to be providing a phenomenal centerpiece day on November 4th, which is the Saturday, and the 3rd is going to be an awesome evening. This is for all families. So all of you, whether you're in a Catholic school or your kids are in religious education, whatever the case may be, this is going to be an incredible opportunity together to experience the power of God, the Holy Spirit alive in marriages and families.
Woohoo. Stay tuned. CatholicRevival.us.
US.
Catholic education costs money, right? Mm. And so for many people, that can be a real, like, this sounds so awesome, but it's just not in my realm of possibility. However, we have good news with New Things Past that I'm sure you would love to talk about.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the setup. Ohio joins several other states in the country that have embraced a parent's right to have a voice in how and where and when and the type of education formation that their children are have available to them. So. In July, the General Assembly and then the governor signed it, passed a bill that allows for every family in the state of Ohio to take a scholarship and apply it to a chartered non-public school, a private school. Mm. And it's means tested by income. So, you know, the more money you make, the less money you get from the state. But to be honest with you, my kids have used, it's called EdChoice. My kids have used EdChoice for several years, and they've increased the threshold to really include almost the entire middle class. Right, mm-hmm. we're really getting into people with some significant wealth as the scholarship amounts decrease. So, mm-hmm. for example, a family of four that makes $135,000 a year would fall into this category of a full scholarship. So a full scholarship is $6,100 for K through 8 education and $84 for 9 through 12 education. And in many ways, that covers the cost of, especially for elementary schools, that covers the whole cost. Sometimes in high school, there are additional costs. But what it does is that allows the school to provide, you know, some of the financial aid that was used in other areas or for other means, you know, really to help bridge that gap. So it's really made education affordable. I expect, you know, a couple years ago, we had about 20% of our students on some type of state scholarship. Let's see, 2 years ago, it was around a third. Mm-hmm. Last year was around 40%, and and this year we're encouraging everyone to apply. So because they're eligible, so hopefully 100% of our families, you know, of those 15,000 students will be taking advantage of their state at work for them, their tax at work for them, you know, helping to offset the cost of private education. And It's great news. It's great news for parents. You know, yes. I went to a public school. You know, I wasn't Catholic, as you know, and didn't go to a Catholic school until graduate school. But it's a game changer, right? Mm. You know, families don't have to, you know, make really, really difficult choices about, you know, where, you know, who's going to go. And if you have a large family, I even know particular priest that I'm fond of, his family made a choice to send his older brother to Catholic school because they thought he was going to be the priest. It turns out he wasn't the priest. It was him.
That's great.
But he went to public school. So I just think it's a great, you know, your zip code or your bank account doesn't have to dictate now where your kids go to school. And I just think it's a blessing for families, and hope everyone takes advantage of it. You know, it's not to say that a particular choice in a particular school isn't the right one for a particular family. But what we're saying is now you have options where right. maybe before you didn't, or you didn't mm-hmm. feel like you did. So it's a wonderful thing for families. It's great for our Catholic schools. And to your point, Steph, it's an opportunity that to use your word, it's an amazing gift. It's an amazing mm-hmm. gift that families have right now. And it's pretty simple. You fill out a one-page application sheet. You send your tax documents to the state of Ohio. Some people say, "Well, I don't want the state to know." Well, they already know.
They know.
You already filed your taxes with the department.
Right.
They already know how much money you make. You're just telling the Department of Education as opposed to the Department of Taxation. So you do that one time for your entire kid's academic career. Mm-hmm. And you're eligible for that level of a scholarship. So it's a great blessing, and we're super excited. Our principals have been working incredibly hard over the summer to mm-hmm. prepare for this and to accept families. I know across the diocese we have families that are choosing Catholic schools that wanted to and didn't have an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Ones that have thought about it, and this was kind of the thing that kind of pushed them over the edge to say, "Yeah, I'm going to try it. I'm going to give this a try." And some new families that said, "You know, we don't really know anything about the school, but we're excited to learn more." And you know, here we are. So it's a great moment for us.
And where is that form found, Matt?
So I would say the easiest place is to you can go to your Catholic school, your local parish school, and I promise you they have copies and copies of them because of the work yes. that's been gone on this summer. You can also go to if you search EdChoice Ohio online, you can find the form to fill out, and then you can take it to your school. But I promise our principals are well versed; they're ready to go, and they've been helping families all summer, really since this was passed, to apply and to initiate the process.
Fabulous!
And it's never too late. If you're just hearing this for the first time for whatever reason, take Matt's advice and go to your parish school and get the information and see how they can serve you.
Folks, you've been tuned in to Ignite Radio Live with Greg and Stephanie Schlier. You can hear our other programs at IgniteRadioLive.com. And if you want to find out more about this, go to ToledoDiocese.org.
If you go to the diocesan website, Catholic Education has its own page, and we're happy to answer questions and to walk you through the process. Or you can go directly to a parish or a school, and we're happy to answer questions there too.
Remember to pray for our teachers, our principals, our priests. And Matt, I hope everybody listening right now lifts a prayer for you, both in thanksgiving and protection, and for whatever the Lord desires most to give you, that he sees that need, that you just be flooded abundantly. Mm-hmm. So listeners, don't make me a dishonest little hostess here. You know, let's lift some prayers for Matt Daniels and his whole staff, and our teachers and our principals.
Amen.
And our priests.
If you'd let me plug one thing.
Please.
I know that we have schools right now that are still searching for teachers. And, you know, whether you're a person who, you know, just believes in the mission and wants to help, young people grow in their, you know, path to holiness. If you're a former teacher and feel called to come back to the classroom, or if you're a new graduate and not exactly sure where the Lord's calling you, we have some great teaching positions still open. You call us tomorrow. We can probably get you in touch with the principal tomorrow and get the ball rolling. So come, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Matt, we're so grateful for you, grateful to be in this mission of souls and building the kingdom and united with our bishop under him and his leadership. We lift him, of course. Folks, these are challenging days, but in the midst of this, we were made for such a time as this. We were made to just really keep persevering. So whatever struggles any of you are facing right now, personally, marriages and families, just experience the grace being outpoured. You're part of a community. Schools are tremendous opportunities to experience that community together. So just plug in, you know, plug in. The great things are about to happen, all the more than anything you've perhaps ever experienced. I really, truly believe that. Again, check out CatholicRevival.us. Get on board right now. We got a 2-month journey, September and October, for men, women, and families. And then again, the crowning event, which is going to launch even more following that. But November 3rd and 4th is our Sanctus Eucharistic Family Revival. So again, find out more at CatholicRevival.us. Until next time, God bless you.